CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we always are. Again, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, call us. That's why we're here. We'll try to give you what the Bible says on that particular topic and to look at that verse in context so you don't come away with the wrong ideas. And so many times people do, because again, always remember the words around that word are as important as the word you're looking at. The verses around that verse are as important as the verses you're looking at. And so what does the Bible really say? So in other words, taking everything, as Jesus said, precept upon precept, line upon line, as we find in the Old Testament, and Jesus saying we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times here at Chosen Generation, we have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you on this Thursday. Looking forward to the great questions that come in all the time. And just excited about seeing people grow in their faith and draw closer to Christ and be used of God. You know, these are the last days. We see so many things happening in our world, from the Middle East to Israel itself to across the world with Europe and NATO and all the things happening. Our President Trump and the great strides he's making for our country. And, you know, these are exciting days. These are days of salvation. These are days of proclamation and days of discipleship. So it's good to be with you. Looking forward to the program today with all the great callers.
Amen. And for those that haven't heard, Dr. James Dobson went to be with the Lord this morning and 89 years old. So he warred a long time for the kingdom of heaven. He was with CSN since we went on the air many, many years ago. And so tomorrow morning, there's going to be a special memorial-type service for him, 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time here on CSN. So just adjust your time accordingly. And, of course, listeners can reach out to the family there at www.jamesdobson.org. And so he graduated today. Our heartfelt sympathy out to his family and friends, of course, and, of course, our friendship that we've had with him here for all these many years. And so, happy day for James Dobson as he's now in heaven. What a wonderful thing to be able to say and do.
Go ahead. If I could interject here, my wife worked for Dr. Dobson as he had his offices in Pasadena, California. She was one who had received the counseling letters and then sort through the letters and divide them up into various counseling departments and so forth. I also had a sister-in-law that worked for Dr. Dobson in the finance department when the offerings would come in and so forth. So he had a lot of great program, a lot of great shows for counseling and understanding marriage and family. Really a great impact in the Christian community. I've read a lot of his books, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. I didn't agree with everything he said, but most of it I did. I would say probably 90%. And he just was a good man and loved the Lord and really did his best. We know he was on Reagan's commission there on pornography back during the Reagan years, trying to discover what is this impact going to have on our society and as well as on the country when it comes to pornography. And he was spot on in all those things that he shared with everyone, and you saw God just use him tremendously in the, it was the Moral Majority Movement, of course, was taking place during the Reagan years, and he had a tremendous impact on our lives and on the country. So what a wonderful man of God. He's surely in heaven now, rejoicing with the Lord and so forth. So, and a good family. Amen.
Amen. I'll give it back Amen. To you. Well, it's again, we got a special tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time. Here on CSN, we'll have a special program, again, concerning Dr. James Dobson, and a good man, and And all of us live in a lot of people that have gone on before us, legacy and wisdom that they've imparted to us. And so, again, our heartfelt condolences to the family there and friends. But you know what the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven. So important to do that. 8888, Ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, we're going to go to John in Nebraska right now. Hi and welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, Pastor. Good afternoon.
How may we help?
Well, I was reading the Bible, and I come across, in my mind, a couple of Johns in the Bible, and that's why I was curious, because there was John the Baptist baptizing, John the Baptist that was beheaded, John the Baptist that was banned to the island of Patmos, and then John the Baptist, who was to come before the return of Christ. So I just want to get that straight.
Okay, well, the Bible says that Elijah comes before the great and notable day of the Lord. Before the Antichrist, we don't find John making that appearance. Most people believe that it's probably Enoch. The Bible says for sure one of them is Elijah. Both of these people in the Old Testament did not die. However, there is about five Johns in the New Testament that we find. And of course, we have John the Baptist, we have John Mark, we have the Apostle John. And your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, you know, we have, John the Baptist was a tremendous man of God. And one of the first things he ever said was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the first preaching of Jesus. Also, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," as well as Peter on the day of Pentecost. He said, "Repent from this perverse generation and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the message was solid, as he was the forerunner that the Lord had sent to proclaim the Messiah. You might call him the last prophet of the Old Testament, because he died before Jesus, of course, died on the cross and rose from the grave. So as an Old Testament prophet, he was declaring the ways of the Lord. Prophetically, he referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He did have his doubts at one time as he was thrown in prison. His own disciples, he said, go to the Lord, ask him if he's the one. And the Lord says, tell him that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the good news is preached to the poor and so forth. Demons are cast out, the lepers are healed of all diseases. So Jesus was affirming John's consternation there as he was in prison. And then, of course, he had his head taken off by Herod and the corrupt leader of the time of the nation at that time, the corrupt leader of the Roman government at that time. So it was a powerful testimony that John had. And as you shared, Mike, he was in the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah himself. We very likely may see Elijah as one of the two witnesses. Very likely, we're not for sure. But very likely could be one of the two witnesses there in the book of Revelation, possibly with Moses there in Revelation chapter 11. So, but anyway, powerful testimony, great man of God. And he's, I love to read, I usually share that at the baptisms that we have, the passage there in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 3. And so we share that with the folks as our Lord is baptized, so they're going to be baptized, as we identify with the baptism of Christ and the life of Christ, his death, his resurrection, and so forth. So anyway, hopefully that helps. Mike, I'll give it back to
Amen.
You.
Amen. I hope that answers it for you. And John, so count on about five of them. And by the way, John the Baptist and the one that was beheaded, same John. Hope that helps.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was kind of getting confused about that, but thank you so much.
John, if you like, if you like, stay on. We'll send you out a couple of things I think you'll enjoy. And let's go to Randy, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Comment about Pastor Dobson, or James Dobson.
Yeah.
He really impacted the way we raised our boys, and very pleased with his ministry.
Yeah, a lot of wisdom. You know, thankfully, his books are out there, so we can still learn from him, even though he's gone to be with the Lord. But, Randy, how can we help?
So mine's kind of a half statement, kind of a question. I call it the Matthew 6 problem, where Jesus talks about not flashing around our prayers and our ties, as it were. We're to go in the closet when we speak to him and things. And I'm seeing a problem with the media. Whenever we as Christians do something good, we're not to flash it around, and we're keeping it so quiet that the media gets the idea that Christians don't do any good. And I'm wondering your take on how we could help to correct that problem as an image across the country goes for the sake of the Lord. Without being flashy, how do we give and get the word out there?
Well, the Bible says, let another man praise you, not yourself. And I believe that what we do, we just do for the Lord. If somebody notices and says, hey, this is cool, great. You know, there's an old saying, no good deed goes unpunished. Well, of course, not a Bible verse, and certainly not real scriptural. However, I will say this, that the way the world interprets anything, right now, anybody that does anything good, they twist it around and make it sound evil. The American news media is front and center on twisting truth and turning it into lies, taking lies and twisting it, turning it into truth. Very, very evil what we see going on. Selective reporting in the political realm, selective reporting in the church world. Very, very dangerous stuff. So this is why the American news media is tanking in the polls, because no one believes them anymore. You've just cried wolf, American news media, too many times, and we don't believe you anymore. And we have to be very, very much aware that we have been duped by the American news media. Whether it was the news media with the polls, who was going to win the last presidential election, so far off, it was disastrous for them. We see it over and over again. They just can't stop using their platform as influence, not as news. See, news medias are supposed to report the news, not make it. But they're trying to make it. And this is where the big problem comes from. So when a Christian does something good, if somebody says, oh, look what he did, isn't that great? It doesn't mean that person's lost the reward. They're not tooting their own horn. Somebody else does that. Well, that's okay. But if somebody does something good for somebody, and then the media or somebody else twists it around and tries to make that person an evil person because they helped somebody, well, they're going to have to answer to God on Judgment Day for that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when we look to our secular news media, it seems like they're never going to be espousing
anything.
Never
going to get it right.
That Christians are going to be doing. However, you know, I do watch Fox News quite a bit, and what else? The Newsmax and others, and it seems like there's a lot more of the Christian faith being proclaimed on those particular news channels. There's also America One, and it's being brought out, which is great stuff. And a lot of these cabinet members and Donald Trump himself are espousing their faith in Jesus Christ and proclaiming glory to God and so forth as they will be doing their particular State Department job. And they are being interviewed, and if the case is needful, they will share about their faith in Christ, which is very exciting to see. And many times these secular news medias, they have these people they're interviewing, and it tends to come up. And I love seeing the work of like Franklin Graham's group, Samaritan's Purse, as there may be a catastrophe across the country. And they're doing a work, and you can't help but see them out there, you know, with their big trucks and tents and all that's happening and so forth. So these are all different ways. As I think the Lord is just says, you know, just keep glorifying him with our good works, and it'll make it as he sees fit. He wants it to be proclaimed. So I would just encourage everyone out there as Bible-believing Christians, keep doing good works, keep reaching out, you donate to good organizations. And, of course, you know, in the Christian realm, of course, it's always being propagated and sent forth. But basically, the secular news is nothing but like a Pravda from Russia. And they're only going to espouse the Democratic agenda, meaning the Democratic Party's agenda, and they're not going to espouse anything that's positive from the Christian faith and so forth. It's tragic, but it is what it is. But there surely is a line of demarcation taking place between the Democratic Party and Christianity, as well as the Republican Party and conservatism and constitutional beliefs. So I would just say this: let's keep up the good works. Let God use our lives, and let's glorify him and our Lord Jesus Christ. Mike,
Amen.
Back to you.
So I hope that answers it for you, Randy.
Yeah, it pretty much does. I'm almost thinking like we have the Judicial Defense Fund and people on that level on the legal side. It's almost like we need a Christian publicist organization that helps to publish those kind of things on the macro level. So we don't have to worry about...
If I could add to this, Mike.
Go ahead.
I'd say social media is one of the greatest tools right now that we have. And by whether it be Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, you know, there's a lot of avenues to get our message out there and to battle the world. So this is the new genre. And like Mike said earlier, you know, these secular stations like CNN and MSNBC, which now they just changed their name to MS Now, and the other secular stations and even ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, they're losing their ratings. And they lose ratings, they lose advertisers. And because people aren't watching anymore, even these comedians late at night, from Colbert to others, they're bouncing them off the air because their ratings are so low and they're spending so much money. I mean, Colbert was losing $40 million a year, if I got my numbers right, with his Colbert show. And all it was just an arm of the Democratic Party. And, you know, people are sick of it. They're sick of the mess that Democrats have gotten us in over the last few years, or actually for many years, I should say. And it's just, we're sick of it. We're sick of the crime in the streets, which Trump is trying to clean up. We're sick of the open border policies. We're sick of their homosexual and transgender agenda and destroying women's sports. America has had enough. And I think this is a great open door for us right now as believers and as conservatives and as those who believe in this country and the Constitution. This is a great opportunity for us to push forward in what is right and good. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, doing the right things, and sin is a reproach to any people. So let's keep pushing forward. Let God use our lives for his glory, honor, and praise. Mike?
Amen. Randy, I hope that answers it for you.
Sure does. Amen. Thank you so much, brother.
Randy, God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Great to pass around to your friends. If you need more, let me know. Let's go to Hogan in St. George, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Howdy. First of all, I want to thank y'all for the wonderful work you're doing from the bean field up there in Idaho.
Yeah, we're in a bean field.
Remarkable.
I think this year it's corn. I think we're in a cornfield this year, but sometimes we're in a bean field.
Well, you're rotating your crops, it sounds like. I wanted to just share quickly a little story about James Dobson. And how an event affected me. I was listening to his show on the way to work one morning about 25 years ago, and I'm kind of a little ashamed to say at that time I was one of these folks that probably hadn't thought enough about the abortion issue. I was kind of one of those that believe it's a woman's choice. But I can't tell you what he said. But I know the Holy Spirit was speaking through him because I was so touched. I had to pull off on the side of the road, and I sobbed like a baby, and I was convicted from that point forward that adoption was absolutely wrong. And I wish I could – I actually contacted Dobson's group to try to find out, get a recording of it, but they couldn't find it, so It may have just happened somewhere in another realm, but what lives he touched, and I am thankful for that man and the Holy Spirit working with him that day. God bless y'all.
Well, Hogan, thanks so much for the thumbs up there, because again, Amen. we really enjoy putting on teachers and pastors that really love Jesus here on CSN, and not trying to take advantage of people's wallets or anything like that. I don't mind people letting people know that there's a need. I think that's important. But Dobson's focus was really to try to help families. And so anyway, I think that's a good thing. And I'm so glad, Hogan, he touched your heart.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing, and you're number one on my dial here.
Well, good. We're glad, I just want you and everybody, I just want to thank everybody that makes CSN possible, all of you that support Amen. CSN. And I think I've shared this before, but our tower rents, that we never pay this off. That's just to rent space on towers across America is about $250,000, $250,000 a month. A month. You think your rent bill is high? A month. $250,000. And so I just want to thank everybody for, making all this work, supporting the programmers as well, because we're doing something that we could never do, individually, but together we can make a real statement in the world and, influence the world. And I believe we do in many, many, ways that I don't think we're going to fully know till we get to heaven. So it's a good thing.
Mike, okay.
Go ahead.
If I could just make a quick comment on that, because what I love to see, and I believe believers love to see, is men of faith, and you and the team there, your people of faith, and at CSN, and of course to Every Man an Answer. But what a great work God has done throughout the many years. I've known you for many years, and I know you're an honest man, you're a good man, you love the Lord, you pray, and by faith you trust in the Lord, and God just keeps expanding the Christian Satellite Network and reaching so many people across this great nation and into the whole world, really. And I just want to encourage, I know you're not much to ask, but I want to encourage everybody to support CSN. This is a wholehearted work. I don't make any money off of this, folks. I'm not being paid to be on the air. We just love to serve the Lord and share with people. But I would say if you want to make a good investment and do a good, solid Christian ministry and outreach, and in reach, we see souls are being saved as well as people are being discipled. This is the place to put your funds towards, and I know they'll have great stewardship in regards to it. So just a little side plug here. We don't do this hardly at all, ever, but I felt this was a good opportunity just to encourage all believers out there just to get plugged in with CSN and support the great work that God is doing through the team at CSN and outreach in the ministry of the gospel and the inreach of the discipleship. Enough said. Go for God, Mike.
Well, Daryl, thank you. And I feel the same way. And thank you again for all of you that make CSN possible. And most of all,
Amen.
Thank the Lord because he's the one.
Amen.
He's the one that makes it all work. So we're very grateful. Hogan, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple little books I think you'll enjoy. With that, we'll go to Robert, Athens, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Pastor Mike.
How can we help?
I don't know if you heard my question or not earlier.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I was curious about yesterday when somebody called about the Great Tribulation. I have the understanding that the Great Tribulation is the last 3.5 years, as well as I like to ask about when do you think – I'm a big pre-trib guy, so I'm wondering if the World War III and or Ezekiel 38-39 war will occur before or after the pre-trib, before the seven-year tribulation. And yesterday, I didn't really get a whole lot of clarity from the gentleman that asked about the Great Tribulation. I have the understanding, again, that the last 3.5 years is really considered as the Great Tribulation, not just the whole 7 years.
Well, we get the 7 years from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, where Daniel watched his nation be destroyed. And he said, Lord, I see all these promises that you made to Israel and everything concerning the world. And the Lord spoke to him and said, 77-year periods of time have been determined upon the nation of Israel. And he talked about that Messiah would be cut off in the 69th week. And from the time that Artaxerxes gave the command to Nehemiah to go restore the city walls around Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, the prince, was exactly 69 seven-year periods of time based on a Babylonian 360-day year. Exactly. But there's a missing seven-year period of time. When they crucified their Savior, when they crucified their King, the clock stopped. but there is a remaining 7-year period of time in which God will deal with the nation of Israel and judge a Christ-rejecting world. Now, it's all tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, we realize that much of that is going to be man-manipulated. Many people believe the seal judgments that we find when Jesus begins to pop the seals off the scroll, those are actually often attributed to man. A guy on a white horse going out conquering and to conquer. We find those that don't go along with the one world order diplomatically, the fiery red horse goes out to bring the world under a one world order. Then what follows, of course, is the famines. And then we find the death following as well. You know, if you're blowing each other up, you're not growing food, and that's going to be a real problem. But the Bible says 1/4 of the world's population dies, which really comes out to about 2 billion people if it was to happen right now. Now, I believe that the Ezekiel 38 war that we find where the Arab coalition comes against Israel, and by the way, yesterday a news story, Iran is already reloading their rockets, everybody. You see, there was never a decisive victory, and so it's just a ceasefire. So the war with Iran technically is not over, everyone. And I watched I saw the newsreels. They're reloading those rockets. They're going to make another round at it. But the Bible talks about Russia joining in with this coalition, and it's not going to be a pretty thing. So I believe that the Ezekiel 38-39 war is probably before the tribulation period, based that they burn the weapons for 7 years, and they're not going to be burning dirty old weapons into the millennial reign of Christ. But I believe that as Israel wipes out this invading army, 5/6 of the invading army, it's going to leave such a power vacuum that I believe the Antichrist is going to be able to come to power pretty quickly. We're coming up on a break. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
I did discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two. And I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. So the ultrasound is what's still the deal.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Terry Van Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. And I'm your host, Mike Kessler, here in Twin Falls, Idaho. And so this Sunday, hope to see you here. We're going to be talking about the seven sons of Sceva. There's real believers and make believers. And oh, we're going to talk about that this Sunday. So bring your Bible. We're going to be studying chapter 19, book of Acts, as we go through the Bible. And Daryl, where are you teaching out of?
We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be talking about the love of God for all believers. And it's going to be an exciting time as we ramble through 1 John. So we have a great time there.
Amen. Always
8:30, 10:30.
Yeah. You know, it was really weird, Daryl. I was there. I was the first person that ever spoke in your church with carpet on the floor.
Oh, there you go. That was an exciting time.
That was. I got to tell you, Daryl just didn't roll out the red carpet. He carpeted the whole sanctuary. It was amazing. I'm still amazed. Going back to the phones, we had Robert on the line, Athens, Georgia, asking about all the things going on in the end times. And, you know, really, Ezekiel 39 says they'll be burning the weapons in this Russia Arab world coalition that comes to destroy Israel for 7 years. And if the tribulation, as we read it, is 7 years long, which the Bible says it is, if they would be burning the weapons into the millennial reign of Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus said this world is so messed up that he makes all things new. He restores the earth back like it was the Garden of Eden. This is also why we get to live, or the people that will be here live to be 1,000 years old again, because he reverses the curse that man brought. But I don't see them burning old, you know, buttstocks off of AK-47s or, you know, 55-gallon drums of, you know, tank diesel fuel or whatever. I don't see them doing that. I think it's going to be a new ecosystem as Jesus sets up his reign. So it has to be before. Now, will the church see it? I don't know. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the one thing we do know for sure is after this Ezekiel 38-39 war, Russia is going to be wiped out. Of course, most of the Arab nations, you know, Allah did not deliver Israel into their hands. I think there's going to be a lot of disillusioned Arabs. Russia's going to be decimated. And I believe that this is going to open the way for the Antichrist to rapidly come to power. Now, I believe as long as the church is here, we will identify the Antichrist. This is why I believe it's important that the church is taken out of the world. There's enough Christians right now in your church to identify the Antichrist if he was to come on the world scene. So that kind of negative PR, I don't think the devil wants. So I believe that when the church is taken out, I think pretty much the Antichrist is going to have a freeway to global popularity. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, exactly, Mike. As we look to the end times, when will that Ezekiel war take place? Ezekiel 38 and 39, as you described, and that the alliance is already formed between Russia, Iran, and Turkey, and of course, the other Muslim nations. Now, Saudi Arabia will sit on the sidelines. They're not going to get involved. It says that Shiba Dam, which is Saudi Arabia, is going to kind of go, oh, you guys are going in to take the booty, huh? And why are they doing that? Because they're protecting their resources of oil reserves and all that they have and production. So they're going to be sitting on the sidelines. However, along with Jordan, I believe, is also going to be sitting on the sidelines. But you find that this alliance with Russia and Iran and Turkey is very strong. And it could happen when the rapture of the church happens. Why do I say that? Because the world will go into global chaos with all these people missing off of planet Earth, trying to figure it out. And then this alliance would say, now is the time. Let's invade, because America will be decimated to the nth degree, and mainly us, because we're the world power. And they see this as a great opportunity to take out Israel. But the Bible says that God will intervene and he will fight for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake that he will protect Israel. And he's going to bring forth pestilence. He's going to bring forth fire and brimstone. Is there going to be a mighty earthquake that's going to take place at that time? And the enemies of Israel will be defeated, and God will glorify his name for the sake of Israel. And then he'll seal the 144,000 Jews. They'll be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many Jews will come to faith in him, but many will also perish and die. But the Antichrist will rise up at that moment in time. It's a great opportunity because he'll probably say, this is a time for no more world wars, that we need global peace. And he's going to bring forth his lying signs and wonders, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, his miracles and so forth, as he's empowered by Satan himself. And the Bible says the lawless one, which is the Antichrist, can't be revealed until the rapture of the church, because it says that which is, will be taken away. The Holy Spirit takes us out of the way. We are retarding the fullness of lawlessness on planet Earth. We are the salt and the light of the world, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. But once we're removed, now the fullness of the lawless one and lawlessness will take place, as Jesus proclaimed also in Matthew 24. And there will be great tribulation as the world has never, ever experienced. Revelation 3 says, however, the Church of Philadelphia, which is the bride of Christ, will be kept from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. Why? Because we keep the word of God and we will not deny his name. But there's a false church called Laodicea that will go into the tribulation period, and they'll become the harlot church led by the false prophet. So all these things are going to take place. And yes, there's going to be great wrath of God that will take place. 1 Thessalonians 5, though, says that we as the church will not go through the wrath of God. And Paul says, now, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So we're not going to be in that tribulation period. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. I hope that helps.
Yeah, can I add one more thing, please?
Okay.
Sure.
I heard something or read something in Revelation about the 200 billion soldiers coming from the east.
Yes.
I don't know if that's China building up the AI soldiers.
Oh, I think the real soldiers.
The third temple being built for the Antichrist to reveal himself in the abomination desolation.
Yeah, they're already getting the temple ready to be built. They're just waiting for somebody to negotiate a peace treaty with them so they can do that. That's all they're waiting for. And now it's interesting, Daniel chapter 9, it says that there's a treaty made with Israel. He makes a covenant with Israel. Maybe it's over this very thing where this man of peace, now the Jew, the Christian, and the Arab can all worship, the Muslim can all worship there on this Temple Mount. Oh, only this man of peace could negotiate such a brilliant thing, and he'll be hailed by the world as a Messiah. Well, the Bible says he's a false Messiah, and he breaks his covenant with Israel halfway through the tribulation period. And this is where he declares to the world that he is God and must be worshipped. And it may very well be during the temple dedication. It also says that he ceases the temple sacrifices. So evidently it may very well be possible the temple is functioning. And then they have their grandioso dedication and the Antichrist. The Bible says he puts himself, a picture of himself or his name, in the temple, and the very religious system that he made, the chrislam, or the coexist, homogenizing all the religions of the world together, he scraps that and now says he must be worshipped as God. Pretty scary, but this is the world, this is the way the world's going. I'm amazed the lies men will believe once he's rejected the truth. Always is amazing. Robert, hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. And 200 million soldiers supposedly coming from the east. Is that China?
Yep.
Across the dry Euphrates?
I believe that's what it means. And China, several years ago, announced that they, if they rally their soldiers on the side, you know, those basically like their National Guard, everything, they have a standing army of 200 million. What's really amazing is I don't think there was 200 million people on earth when John wrote the book of Revelation. And a standing army of 200 million? Yep, that's what the Bible says. And it's interesting, they built a dam on the Euphrates River so it would dry up. So this will have a free course to march right into the Battle of Armageddon. Interesting days, Robert, just what the Bible says. Hope that helps. And God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Stay in line. We'll get you fixed up. Let's go to Chloe, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello. I got a question for you, Pastor Mike. Can you explain exactly what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I had read a book years ago by Kenneth Hagin called Demons, and he went into detail of what that was. I shouldn't have read that because I don't think I really understood what I was reading, and I ended up with, like, intense scrupulosity, where you have that fear of blaspheming. And I've struggled with that for years after reading that book.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you could explain to me what that is.
Well, the picture, dear, is actually where they were attributing the miracles of Jesus to the devil. But we do know that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts a person of sin, and then they repent. Now, if a person spends their entire life rejecting the call to surrender their life to Christ, to accept God's plan for their life, and they die in their sin, they've effectively shined on the Holy Spirit for the last time, and that won't be forgiven, and they die in their sins. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it is the total rejection of the calling of the Holy Spirit to come to God, come to Christ for salvation, and they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Jesus, all sin against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that blasphemy is where a person would reject God to the point of death, and thus they're going to be cast into what's called Hades first. There's no second chances, and then they're going to be cast ultimately into the lake of fire, which we commonly call hell. So that's the progression of the non-believer who rejects Jesus Christ. But for yourself, dear sister, is this. Kenneth Hagin is a false prophet. You don't want to follow his teachings. As part of the health and wealth movement, confess it and grab it and blab it and everything else. So you don't want to follow his teachings. Even they said that Jesus had to battle with Satan in the heart of the earth as he had died on the cross in 3 days. What was he doing in 3 days? That he needed to become a born-again man because he took the sins of the world upon himself. So he fought against the devil. He overcame the devil. And then he gets out of the tomb 3 days later. And that's bogus. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Jesus never loses his deity. He is the Son of God, period. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And he paid the price for sin, and he cried out on the cross to tetelestai, which is to say, it is finished. Victory has been won. And the devil wasn't sitting there in the heart of the earth fighting with him and all this stuff. That's bogus. That's wrong theology. So anyway, but back to your question is, don't feel guilty. You're a child of God. Paul the Apostle writes, therefore, there's now no condemnation, no condemnation whatsoever to those who are in Christ Jesus, walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. As you're a born-again Christian, you are saved, you're being sanctified, and you're headed to heaven to be glorified. So don't ever condemn yourself. I say this to all people. Don't ever condemn yourself. If, as the Bible says also in 1 John, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. Thus, we have confidence with God. Thus, when we pray, we know that when we pray in the name of Jesus, he will answer our prayers. God is with us. But the devil loves to condemn us. The world will condemn us. And false teachers will also condemn us because they like to control us. You're free in Christ. You're saved. And you're found in Jesus Christ. That means you're found in his righteousness. You're holy and righteous in his ways, and he has saved you, and you're never going to be lost. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're with him. So stay strong, my dear sister. Amen.
Amen. Mike? Hope that helps.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe that again, this idea that, you know, I blaspheme the Holy Spirit and God's never going to forgive me. No, you don't do that till you die. And if the Holy Spirit's convicted you. And, you know, it's so funny because a lot of people say, well, I've never heard God's voice. I mean, as a Christian, I've heard people say that. And I go, yeah, you have. No, I haven't. Yeah, you have. Well, what do you mean? Well, when you heard the message of the Lord that he died on a cross for you, that he wanted you to live for him and that he would forgive all your sins. And there was a little voice inside of you that said, this is for you. This is for you. That was God's voice. See, you would have not known that. That was God speaking to you. And because you heard his voice, that confirmed. So any person that's born again, you have actually heard God's voice. When you knew, when God revealed to you that this was for you, That's the Holy Spirit. But a person that turns that away and turns it away their whole lifetime, you know, and friends, family, everybody's praying for that person to come to Christ. Then they still say, no, no, no. Blasphemy, the shining on of the Holy Spirit, the rejection of the Holy Spirit, they die in their sins. They're lost forever. What a terrible, terrible way to spend eternity. Chloe, stay on the line. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. God bless you, dear, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Michael in New York. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. How may we help?
Yeah, I heard you talking about James Dobson.
Yeah.
You know, I read certain books, and I was looking at one by Psycho Harris, Heresy Awareness Ministries. You know, he was largely responsible for bringing in the self-esteem and the therapeutic gospel to the church. And, you know, I wonder if we'll see him when we get to heaven.
Oh, I believe so. You know, Michael, let me just tell you something. The Bible says, by their fruit, you know them. And if you look at any individual, you're going to find things. Any pastor, pick your problem. Because they put their pants on just like you do. They put their shoes on just like you do. The Bible says, by their fruit, you know them, not by their mistakes. Yet I find today in the Christian world, more people are focused upon a minister's mistakes than all the good that they have done. And this is one of the tragic things about our 21st century church in America and Christians at large. We've forgotten love. See, look at what the good they've done. If you only look at the bad somebody's done, where do you want to stop? And what about all the bad we've done? What about the bad you, me? We've all done bad things. But the thing is, that isn't what we're judged on. That Jesus forgave us for. What we're judged on is the good things. Now, I don't believe Dobson, and I've listened to Dobson a lot, brought in heresy, because a lot of times people need to understand they are valuable to God. They have a worth to God. They have a worth to their family, their worth to their community, to their church, to their schools. And a lot of people are really beat down. And it almost seems like the devil, he's the deceiver. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. And if you listen to the devil, you won't be able to look up to see down because you're so low. So I do believe there's an element that we have to realize that once I'm born again, once I belong to Christ, I'm valuable to God. I'm valuable to others. And if I ever forget that, then I'll just go down in the basement and start digging holes. But see, I don't believe that a person, just because they say, hey, buddy, as a matter of fact, you're valuable. You're valuable to God. You know, you need to realize you have self-worth in that, in Jesus Christ, you can move mountains. See, that's the problem, because people have been beaten down. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, I think I made a statement in the very beginning of the program about Dobson. I said I agree with most everything he's done. The only thing I had an issue was this, what you just mentioned, my friend, was the self-esteem thing. But it's also because it's been taken to extremes. I think most of what he was talking about self-esteem was to encourage one another, that especially women would be valued and nurtured by their husbands, and you'd build them up. And yet we're not called to have self-esteem. We're actually supposed to esteem others better than ourselves, is a better biblical term. The Bible says to edify one another, that is to build up one another. But his message was clear, that it was the husband was to love his wife, and the wife was to love her husband. Now, he never said he was a preacher, a pastor. He's a psychologist. He's a Christian psychologist. And sometimes the whole thing could get a little bit mixed up, but he was dealing with the soul of man and a lot of the behavioral issues that we have across our humanity, if you will. And he was trying to help us to understand who we are and to develop us in the ways of the Lord. So I saw much more good than I saw anything that was contrary to really the gospel. But that was the only issue that I had with him, is that one issue of just understanding what he means by self-esteem and declaring it properly. because this is where you can get into the whole thing of we all need to just believe in ourselves. Believe in yourself. You know, self-esteem. Believe in yourself. No, we need to believe in God. God is greater and ourselves in us. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe him. And that's where the whole thing got a little bit convoluted. It was not a healthy thing, and it needed to be changed. And unfortunately, it kind of grabbed on in the church. And then they got different extremes of psychology coming into the church, which then was not right. And it became more unbiblical than biblical. Mike?
Yeah, and I think that's always been there. And the times that I've heard Dobson speak about those particular topics, knowing where he was at with the Lord, I never confused that. I never seemed to, you know, miss the idea that he was, you know, not a good guy or into elevating yourself above Christ. I've never ever even remotely thought that. I always took what he was talking about was a person that's new in Christ. You do have value. You're the bride of Christ. We as Christians need to remember that. The devil beats us down. Even Christians will beat us down. But that doesn't mean you got to believe it. And that doesn't mean that it's true. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light on it. And yeah, maybe you said a few things, but gosh, who hasn't said a few things? But I think if you look at the overall of his ministry, and you too, Daryl, on this, I think that he's helped so many people find their way to Christ, understanding that God does have a purpose for them and save so many families by bringing Jesus into that relationship. So by their fruit, you know them, not by their mistakes. And I certainly wish the church at large would really adapt what Jesus said, because it seems now you're known by your mistakes. Doesn't matter how good or whatever you've done for the kingdom of God. That doesn't seem to even matter anymore. It's the bad you done. Look at it. And the people that are pointing their fingers don't do anything for the kingdom of God. That's what to me is so astounding. You know, Jesus said, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your own. Now, again, Michael, bad teaching is bad teaching. There's no way around it. But who hasn't said things they maybe wish they hadn't have said? Daryl, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, one thing I know about Dr. Dobson and his ministry as he was on the radio ministry, as he was on the air, he supported so many of the Christian values, of course. He was a firm believer in the doctrines of sound doctrine of the faith, you know, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, the justification by faith, the atonement of the blood of Christ for our salvation and so forth. All these things he believed in, believing in the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So maybe there's some things that has been said about him, whether it's accurate or not. No man is perfect, as Mike was just sharing. And so I would say, you know, as you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, God never mentions the sins of the men, from Moses to Noah to Abraham and so forth, David and so on. The sins aren't mentioned in the Heroes of Faith, chapter 11. But if you go back to the Old Testament, you read their sins, right? Because all their sins
and there's a lot of them.
And they're saved. Yeah, exactly. And I feel that's the same way with all of us. We all have our mistakes, but God is with us. He loves us. He washes away our sins. We're saved by grace, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we always, everybody's learning, whether you be a preacher or you be a regular Christian, you know, whatever it might be, or you be a radio commentator, everybody's always learning. And I wish we were all perfect, but there's only one that's perfect. His name is Jesus. Amen. Mike?
Amen. I hope that answers for you, Mike.
Well, you know, it's like, I know when we become Christians, we get an identity in Christ. We get a spiritual gift. And I don't see psychologists in the section. And the research I've done and experience I've had, they teach the New Age movement and they're witch doctors. And, you know, it's very dangerous to have psychology in the church. I have to greet people at the Lord's lead very often from their ways, and it's dangerous.
Daryl, your thoughts.
Exactly. It is dangerous when they're secular psychologists, and some that call themselves Christian psychologists are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. They're doing secular psychology more than they're doing Christianity. I can't throw the baby out of the bathwater. There's also, I've met some really good psychologists that are strong Christians, and they're sharing scriptures in their counseling times with people and so forth. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag at times, but you know what? All I encourage people is stay in the Word of God. That's the key.
Amen. And again, by their fruit, you know them. And like I say, I've seen many, many people come to Christ through James Dobson's ministry. So hope that helps. Hey, Alice, Michelle, Denise, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. No waiting. Thank you so much, Daryl, for being on. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
Ministry, or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.